Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Ragnall Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0 throughout the Waikato. I hope you're having a lovely afternoon out there. And yes, today our guests have just arrived, but looks like we have Hayley and Gavin Fisher here for the Organic Hub. We're going to be talking a few things like that, and we'll see what we're going to do. But firstly, we'll play this one by one of my old favourites, by Bob Dylan. It's Time Passes Slowly. Hope you enjoy this, and we'll come back after that.
Time passes slowly up here in the mountains. We sat beside bridges and walked beside fountains. Catch the wild fishes that float through the stream. Time passes slowly when you're lost in a dream. I had a sweetheart, she was fine and good looking. We sat in her kitchen while her mama was cooking. Staring out the window to the stars high above. Time passes slow when you're searching for love. Ain't no reason to go in a wagon through town. Ain't no reason to go to the fair. Ain't no reason to go up. Ain't no reason to go down. Ain't no reason to go anywhere. Passes slowly up here in the daylight. Stare straight ahead and try so hard to stay right. Like a red rose of summer that blooms in the day. Time passes slowly and fades away.
That was Bob Dylan and Time Passes Slowly there. Hope you enjoyed that. Now I'm going to play for you Lucy Dacre's song called VBS. Hope you enjoy this.
In the summer of 07, I was sure I'd go to heaven, but I was hedging my bets at VBS. A preacher in a t-shirt told me I could be a leader, taught me how to build a and to spread the word. In the evening, everybody went into worship, and we hands above our heads, reaching for God. Back in the cabin, snorting up Meg in your bunk bed, we were waiting for a revelation.
Lucy Dacus there with VBS, and while we're getting this interview organised, here goes one more track. It's Lead Belly with Fanning Street Blues. Hope you enjoy this one.
This is mine. Out in California, they call this Cry For Me. That's my mama crying about me, didn't want me to go on Fanning Street. I just place where I wanted to go. Send me to the fair five times, I ain't got to the fair the first time. State fair, they call it. What is yeah, state fair. Follow me down. Follow me down. Follow me down by Mr. Tom. My mama told me, my little sister too, went on Fanning Street, son, they're gonna beat her death. Ooh, I didn't care. I told my mama, mama, you don't know. Women on Fanning Street, kill me, why don't you let me go? Ooh, it's coming, it's crying. Stand a yell crying. I went to my mama, fell out on my knee, crying out, Lord, and mama, would you forgive me? Come as crying as that. Side of Sweetwood, I run on when I leave home. I got a woman living on Stony Hill, been running all over town with Buffalo Bill. Ooh, she's a bad man. You been running all over town with Buffalo Bill. Two chances of one baby that you ain't done got killed.
Righty right, that was Lead Belly there with Fanning Street Blues, and now we are ready for the interview. We have Hayley and Gavin from the Organic Dairy Hub. How you going, team?
Hi, good.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good, good. And we'll start, I guess, with you, Gavin. I mean, you have a farm. You've actually, both of you have been on the show before, but not together, but at different times. And, yeah, how's the season been over Pot always, Gavin?
Oh, well, the summer was a bit dry, but summers are always dry, I've sort of noticed over the years.
Yeah.
But no, it was pretty good. Now we're getting plenty of rain to sort of top things up. It hasn't been overly cold, so things are going pretty well.
You're still pretty mild. Have you had any frost over there yet?
Yeah, we've had about six.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, I think that's more than we've had over here, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like to come to Raglan.
Yeah, no, I think we had one maybe. Yeah, a few weeks ago. It was kind of better. Yeah. All right.
But that's all part of your seasons, you know. Like, you have to make sure that you're resilient and your production system sort of meets all those conditions that the weather throws at you, because at the end of the day, it's going to do what it does.
That's right. And, yeah, I don't know about over there, but over here it was the dustiest May. Like, the gravel roads are still kicking up dust, like, pretty much all through May, you know. It was, the weather's kind of, yeah, certainly changing around.
Well, our water tables, that's one thing we noticed, are still quite low.
Mm.
So we do actually need quite a bit of rain to fill that ground reservoir up, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that follows on through your next seasons, because we've basically had four below average rainfall seasons, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. And, and the summer's been much hotter. I guess that'd suck a bit of extra water out of the ground and that too, I guess. Mm.
Yeah, well, that's why I've sort of set up, well, at home anyway, on the farm, sort of more tree planting, more shade, more shelter. That stops the sun sort of penetrating and drying your soils out. It's protection for the cows. So there's a whole system in place, and that's part of that sort of to build that resilience into your production food system, you know, your food production system.
Yeah, I've never actually seen your place. I must get out there one day. But, yeah, I've heard plenty of people have been talking to plenty of people who have, and they say, yeah, got all sorts, fodder trees, fruit and nut trees, you name it. It's all there. Yeah.
Well, I sort of always looked, for the last 42 years since I left secondary school, I've been planting trees there. Mm. And I always sort of had the focus of a tree ticking about 10 boxes, if you like. So instead of just being shade, shelter, and sort of basic things like that, sort of looked at, medicinal properties for animals, the ecological aspect, you know, whether that's for bird life or insect or bees, and also if it can be a cash crop, and that's where some of the fruit trees come into it.
Mm, mm.
And it's quite good. I don't need to go into town to have lunch. I can still just be cruising down the farm and have lunch.
Yeah.
And if I get in trouble at home, I don't even have to come home for lunch. So it has lots of advantages.
Yeah. And what's how do you sell it, like a little stall out the front or your local shop, or how does that go for your excess sort of produce?
Yeah. Well, the main engine room, if you like, of the farming business is dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the milk aspect. That's why we supply the hub.
Yeah.
The organic hub and that. And the other side of it is, yeah, I've got my own brand for my eggs that I sell, because we have free-range chooks, which are totally free-range. They're just cruising around. And, with all the fruit and veggies and stuff like that, I've got different markets. I try and, as much as possible, keep it local, because I think that's quite good to connect with your with locals, actually, and you get their feedback.
Yeah.
And you sort of stay relevant to what their needs are and their thoughts on different directions and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you hear about politics and stuff like that, and I say, woo, stop. You know, you don't want to get too depressed.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And Hayley, you are representing the organic dairy hub, but not sort of on the farm, but out the back making it all happen.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we've been really busy as a team. It's probably since we were here together last time, and we've launched a few new products, and we're about to launch a really exciting set in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, yes.
So it's been busy, both nationally and internationally, with COVID, of course, that brought some concerns to people around their health and well-being and their immunity. As a side benefit to that, the hub has become more known internationally for the brand of milk that we have, the nutrient dense properties of our milk.
Yeah.
So business is going really well.
Okay, well, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I suppose for those who might not have listened to the last interview yet, I mean, tell us about, you know, what is the hub exactly?
So the hub is a true New Zealand cooperative of organic farmers like Gavin. Gavin's actually our farmer ambassador, as well as a supplier of milk.
Mm.
We're spread across the North Island. So we've got farms from sort of the upper North Island of New Zealand all the way down to South Wairarapa and everywhere in between.
It's a big spread.
And we would be coming up 7 years old, wouldn't we now, Gavin?
Yes, that's right.
7 years.
Seven years old. So we started off as a hub of farmers that brought their organic NOP, USDA milk into New Zealand, into different brands. And then as time's gone on, we've launched our own brand. So that was around March of last year. Challenging time to do it, but we did it, and we launched our own brand called Ours Truly. So the tagline for Ours Truly is what it is, which is our cows, our land, our people. It's truly our products. And we've gone away from there. So, yeah, started off with milk in a bottle, and then before Christmas we launched a set of milk powders. In those milk powders, a couple of them are quite unique, with them being lactose-free. So the milk powders and the other brands that we've launched and are launching are all tagged with a brand called A3.
Mm-hmm.
So probably that's not something that most general people would know what that means.
No.
Is basically the A2 beta casein protein in the cow's milk, mm-hmm, plus USDA NOP organic certified. So 2 plus 1 makes 3. So we trademarked A3, and our products host the A3 triangle on them.
Mm-hmm.
So on our milk powders, which are A3 organic whole milk powders and trim powders, and then of course the lactose free set as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been going really well. We'll be ranging shortly in supermarkets across the North Island, so in New Worlds and the Old Foursquare, and also specialty stores.
Right on.
So yeah, that's been an exciting journey, and we're about to launch our own organic butter as well.
Ooh, organic butter.
Yes, so we've been in amongst butter making, and around 2 weeks from now, the Ours Truly brand will start delivering to the supermarkets and specialty stores organic, grass-fed, USDA butter.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, and it's super tasty.
And can you make butter from powder, or is that like it's got to be the whole milk or both? Doesn't matter.
It comes from the cream. So once once the milk is separated into protein and fat, we churn the cream. And
I think you might need to come out to the farm, and I'll give you a bit of an education day.
That's all right. You wouldn't be the first to ask. So yeah, we take the cream, take the fat component, churn it. Obviously, you get buttermilk, and also you get your butter. So we've been doing that since around March, and we're about to launch. So we've got these lovely little artisan 150 gram blocks for retail, and then the 10 kg wholesale blocks as well for bakeries and, you know, for catering, basically.
Yeah, right on.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. We've also collabed with a well-known New Zealand brand owner. So when we do launch, everyone will know who that is.
Okay.
With some flavoured butters as well. So I'll keep that as a surprise, but certainly keep an eye out for some flavoured butters coming our way. So it's made from our butter,
from our
cows, and it's got a few extra little flavours in there too.
I'm imagining what they want might be, but I won't say nothing.
Yeah, well, there's nothing like them out there now, so they're quite unique.
Ooh, okay.
And universal in how you can use them. So.
All right.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Is that all getting done out of, what's it called in Hamilton? Is it out of there or like all around the country?
It's done in Hamilton, we've got a churn in Hamilton.
What's the name of that place where the milk powder spinning things are?
Waikato Innovation Park?
Is it there you're doing it or?
As a byproduct out of there, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
So obviously we need to separate the whole milk or the protein from the fat, and then off we go down to the butter plant, so...
I'm just trying to remember last time we spoke. Were they in the motion of building? They just built a bigger spinner, hadn't they?
They've built a bigger dryer. So that's a privately owned dryer, and that's around 3 times the size of the initial one. And that's called the Melody Plant. So it's got a number of key stakeholders that own that, they're pretty much busy all year round with either bovine milk, goat's milk, sheep's milk. So, you know, they do a range of things. They also do for us, of course, formulated products where you can add to milk other attributes of vitamins and minerals, and they can do infant formulas and all types of things. So really useful for us, and of course it's just down the lane from our office, so really handy to pop down there and see them.
Nice, nice. Yeah, well, that is handy, isn't it?
It is.
So I think last time we spoke, yeah, I think you only had the milk, or you just put out the milk in a cardboard box.
We did.
Yes.
Yes.
That, so that was maybe, how long ago was that? Maybe a year ago or something?
Yeah, it was around March.
Yeah.
We actually won an artisan award for that, so it was recognised.
Congratulations.
For that, and you know, probably be encouraged by our farmers to pop our butter into the artisan awards for this year as well.
Because it was fully recyclable, eh? All the packaging and everything,
was,
I remember.
That's our ethos, is around having sustainable product made sustainably by farmers like Gavin, but also packing it sustainably and making sure there's a recycling initiative that sits in behind the product.
Mm-hmm.
So really important to us to look after the environment by doing that from farm to customer.
All right. And how many countries are you exporting to nowadays?
Oh, we are exporting to a handful of countries. We're really lucky that having our NOP USDA certification gives us market access into places like the US, and also being Chinese certified, we can pop product into there, or we can on-sell product and then go into China. So a handful of countries, that's probably enough for us. Our main desire is to grow our brand, and Each brand that we bring to life, we always try and make that brand slightly different, that product slightly different than what's a commodity product on the shelf. Hence, something like the lactose-free powders, because there isn't an organic lactose-free powder that we're aware of across the world.
Right on.
So really,
world first.
World first. Yep, that's us. So sure. Really important to us to support people that, you know, have the lactose intolerance. We've obviously got the A2 beta casein protein, so you know a lot of people prefer the A2 protein for digestion. So we're sort of trying to wrap all that up into a product that suits a wide range of people.
Yeah, okay. So I remember, I think last time we spoke, day to day, not on here, but on the phone, you were driving a truck, then you had to get off and jump on the forklift, and then you had to shoot off for a couple of meetings and do a couple other things. So, yeah, well-rounded.
Oh, yes. Not just physically. yes, well, certainly. And I suppose as my role as a business development manager, I wear many hats. I can be on the farm with customers like I was the other day at Gavin's. So I always carry a pair of gumboots in the boot of the car. When we first started making our butter production, I was driving the wee truck with our cream down to the factory, making the butter. Really, it was really lovely to have our team involved in making the butter with us. We had a couple of farmers come in and give us a hand at the very start as well, a couple of our directors. So, you know, it's a team effort. And certainly in my role, no 2 days are the same. You know, here we are doing this today. Tomorrow I could be, you know, in a meeting in Auckland, or I could be running around Gavin's farm with customers. Right. It's a very mixed role, which makes it really exciting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, doing heaps of different stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
And Hayley's always got really good timing. She knows, you know, milking time and stuff like that. So we never see her then. So although she puts her gumboots on, I've never seen her walk up and down the pit yet. So I might have to try and organise that.
New skill.
I've put a few cups on earlier in the year. But that was in a rotary shed where the cows were looking the other way, so they didn't know it was me. But certainly I'm not adverse to being out there, you know, and with the work that Gavin's doing at the moment, that he'll cover off in a minute. If there's an extra pair of hands needed on the farm, any one of us as team members would be out there, whether it's with a shovel or if it's, you know, helping out with carving or whatever. We support the hub as much as they support us as employees, so.
Right on.
It's a real family affair.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, from a farmer's perspective, it's so cool to see your products on shelves and being done right, you know, it sort of honours what we're doing back on the farm and taking that right through into the market and then having customers enjoying, you know, your product and all the hard work that you've put in. I know it's a cliche, you know, all like one family and stuff like that, but our co-op, it is like that. And that's why the farmers will chip in and help on the other side of things, not just on farm with the company and the staff do the same. The team does the same. We sort of, they're not really looked at as working for us, it's one big thing, actually, you know, all working together. Mm. And that's how, I believe that's how true co-op should work. That's got the whole essence of a co-op, and that's, you know, some of the reasons why they're formed in the first place.
Yeah, right on. And Hayley, you just mentioned you have customers on the farm. I mean, well, what do they just come around and, like, you show them, oh, well, here's the, you know, here's the this, that, and how often does that kind of thing happen?
Well, it sort of depends when Hayley chucks them at me, basically. well, the important part is, with our customers, is, you know, they want to know the whole ins and outs. Mm. You know, what's a production system? What are the farmers doing on the farm? You know, is it sustainable? Is it ecologically friendly? So there's no better way than actually seeing.
Mm.
To have them on the farm, to be able to talk to them in person, look them in the eye, and for them to ask questions and to see what's actually going on, is just, it's gold. It's so important. Mm. Mm. And we've launched a standard, our honor standard, and they can actually see with what we're saying and what we're showing them in that standard that those things are actually happening on farm through some of our habitat plans that we've got. And the good thing is you're not dragging the farmers to do this, that they're in tune to that already. Mm. They really, a lot of them are intergenerational, so they want to look after that land and they want to pass that land on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, if they can be producing a really good nutritional food for people, it's just a plus, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you want to tell us a bit more about that? About that, what you're just mentioning, it's new hub innovation, isn't it? The honor standard. Yes, the honor standard. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's sort of a couple of sides to the honor standard.
Well, how did it come about first? The whole company sat around and said, "Oh, hey, let's do something like this." Or,
well, it's sort of just rolled around by itself to a big degree because you know, we're looking at how do we get our story out there? Mm. You know, how do we, and support that story with evidence, not just, you know, spin, if you like, to use another word.
Yeah,
we don't want to use spin. We want to be transparent, and you know, the farmers don't want our company to just have a marketing team and spin information at people.
There's plenty of greenwashing around. You don't want to be
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, if people want to do that, they can. But that's not what we're about.
No.
And you know, our co-op's not a big co-op, but we can make a big difference, and I think that's important.
Mm.
You know, you don't have to be massive, but what you have to be is transparent and honest.
Mm.
And that's what the honor standard is about. That's what it stands for. And then with our habitat plan on farm, is around our production system, our looking at the ecological aspects, the habitat sort of side of things, because
so what does that include, Gavin? When you say that production system, and so you're talking about what, how many trees you have, the quality of your water on farm, things like that. Is it all encompassing like that, or?
Oh, all of the above, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So even the aspects of a lot of things that are coming at us anyway in regards to some of the industry standards around nitrogen, around carbons, around all those sort of things. So most of those are biological processes. So if we are running our systems on looking at the biological aspect of it, that sits you in a really good position for that. And at the same time, you're looking after the land and that the ecology around that, because it's not separate. It's actually part of our system.
Mm-hmm.
And at home, we're really reliant on that. So it just makes sense to harness that, to nurture it, to look after those sort of things, and do the best that you can there.
Mm.
And at the same time, and I think as we get better at testing, especially with food, you'll see that there's a lot of benefit in that, and not just for humans. It's beneficial for the animals on the land at the same time, and as I say, everything that's involved, because really it's a living entity, and that's the best way of looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so yeah, like you say, it's a whole system, isn't it? In itself, every farm, pretty much, isn't it? You
know? Well, nothing works in isolation, and so you look at it in its totality. And then you look at how can you improve that, or how can you work with that, opposed to working against things, and or pushing the boundaries a bit too far, and willingly or unwillingly doing damage. So yeah, it's quite important to have a strategy and a good base production food production system. Totally.
Yeah, and building the carbon, that's getting a big thing now, isn't it, in the soil? I think it was a few, I'm trying to remember who it was. There was someone quite a few months ago on the show, and there was some kind of carbon measurement tool in the motion of getting developed. Has there been any further progress on that, do you know? Are you aware of any?
Oh, yeah, well, there's lots of tools out there for that, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Depending on what the objective is by using those tools, I suppose. If you look overseas, that they've been doing that for a while anyway.
Right.
So
right, right.
If you understand the process of how that carbon cycle works, if you like,
yeah.
And then how that the whole biological cycle works all around that, and that's your nitrogen as well. Your atmosphere is about 75% nitrogen sitting above your land anyway, and it's in a different form, but it's a form that plants do need. So it's about understanding how those plants pull that in and use that, and the symbiotic relationship. It's not just like, it's quite common knowledge that if you've got clover, a lot of people go, well, you're fixing nitrogen. Well, that's not necessarily the case, because you need the right biology that works in a symbiotic relationship with that. So there's a fair bit of science involved, I suppose, but for me, because I'm definitely not a scientist, and if you talk to my teachers at school, they probably were quite glad when I went farming. I just look at it. It's most of it's common sense, and I'm third generation on the farm, so I could pretty much put a blindfold on and walk all around the farm. I mean, I was running around there barefoot as a kid, so you get a real feel for the land. And although you don't, I always say the only bit of land that you truly own is pretty much where your coffin's going to go, probably. The other part is the land that you can use, and I think if you can as a family pass that land down and use it and improve it, it's quite a good thing, and it's quite a good job, actually. I don't look at it as work all the time. It's quite enjoyable, because might sound a bit silly, but it's a bit of a passion of mine, and especially with that real ecological side of things and how things work.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, it's a bit like photosynthesis. That's not going to change next week. It's not going to change next year. It's not going to change in a million years' time. That's a process. And if it did change, we're stuffed, because we might be around.
I suppose there's science for sure, but a lot of it's just observation, isn't it? I guess, and trial and error, and just trying things out, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of times science is always trying to catch up. Trying to work out how things are working. Where, like my grandfather, he knew if there was in the rough block there where they used to throw the cows in the wintertime and stuff like that, he didn't know what they were eating and all those sort of things. But when the cows came out and they were in good condition, had shiny coats, that was enough for him. He didn't need to analyse every leaf or every branch or twig or things that the cows were browsing or chewing on. And you can make your life complicated if you like. I do actually like the bit in the background as well. I'd like to dissect and find out how things are working and why. But you don't, I suppose my message is, you don't need to. If you've got good observation skills, a lot of times you can work stuff out anyway.
If you're passionate about it and you're observing about what's going on around, that's the majority of what you're trying to do anyway, right? Isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And so it's quite rewarding to know that, being passionate inside the gate, if you like it, on your farm, and doing the things that you're doing, and knowing that the properties of that milk will be different because of what you're doing, is really nice to be part of a co-op that are actually looking at those attributes, if you like, and wanting to put them into product and market them properly, without too much spin to it.
Yeah.
So it's about telling the story of what's actually happening, and that's what sort of the honour standard's about, and to give it some teeth, that's what the habitat plan is about.
Right, right on. And the honour standard, Hayley, I mean, is that how does that work on the, outside the farm gate with you guys?
So the honour standard's supported with a logo. The logo was came about, it sort of morphed as it grew as a design, and it's a really clever, what we've ended up with is a really clever logo. So it's almost three-dimensional. So when you take your first look at it, you can see attributes of the logo. But if you take another look, you can see in behind, you can see, for example, a keyhole, you know, opening up, you know, a door. If you look again, you can see waves of soil depths, you know, and then you look again and you can see the outline of a person. So it's a really unique...
Trippy.
Shield. It's kind of like a shield. It is trippy. So that'll be featured on our butter. So it's on the butter labels that are coming out. That'll be our first products. We will also provide that to our customers. So, you know, customers that take our products and then further process with them, they can add that at their end as well. So that will be going internationally. That'll be across, you know, international brands as well as our own brands. And really the logo represents, you know, the regenerative farming. That was the original target. And with Gavin and the work that him and the team have done, they've exceeded my expectations and our customers' expectations. You know, when you add that to your grass-fed and your non-GMO, we've got that many attributes now to our product. We've almost haven't got enough room on the packet to put them all on.
Good space to
be. So that's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Well, so, I think, and the real interesting part of all that is that those things aren't being done on farm just for a marketing point of view. Those things are being done on farm because they are good practices and good things to do. So it so happens that it just all folds in nicely together.
Yeah, it does, and it shows in the products. You know, so if you were putting together a recipe of an infant formula, you know, and it's got some milk and it's got a load of vitamins and a load of minerals and some other things in there to make an infant formula, what we're finding is that the natural nutrients in our milk means that there's less artificial ingredients needing to be added to get to the same end result. So it makes our products that more inviting. You know, your ingredient list is smaller, your natural elements in your product are higher. So and that's a really good, you know, showcase of the work that's done back on farm. It's showing in the products that we produce, even in the butter. Some of the attributes in the butter you just don't see, and that's down to how the milk is provided to us as a business.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's a growing sort of feeling amongst, you know, consumers, let's say, and just people in general, who are really interested in where the food comes from and how it's produced and all that now. So yeah, your timing's really good on that one.
It is, and trust and traceability. And I think one of the learnings, you know, over these last couple of years is trusting a brand, knowing it is what it is and it truly has come from where it's truly come from, hence our brand, ours truly, because we stand behind that really strongly. You know, it is our cows. We're not pretending anything else. It is from our land. It is from our co-op. And that's what customers are looking for, you know. And where food comes from is really important now. And what's in it. The younger generations, my children's generation, they're the generation that are reading the back of pack and they want to know everything before they make that buying decision. And it's really easy on our brands. Because it's fully transparent.
And I think, you know, the youth of today are quite in tune, or seem to be. We've had school kids at home before, and I remember saying to them, oh, you can eat most of this that's in the pasture, and before the teachers had time to stop, the kids are putting different leaves in their mouth. They were in their gob already. I think they were probably a bit horrified about that. But they get it when you explain to them, you know, your planting of the trees and why and the shade and some of the ecology sides of things, they just get it, which is really cool. So there's a, and it's quite nice that on farm we can share that, you know, that knowledge that we've learnt by doing it and, you know, share it with others that might not necessarily have access to that. And for them to be there is, you know, it's far better than sitting in a classroom.
Yeah.
You know, if you can sort of tie the grass to the class, if you like. You know, it's sort of quite important.
Yeah.
And I know as a kid, you know, when you went on excursions for school, you remembered those. Well, I remembered those more than I remembered the times table. But, you know, those images, and you remember smells, you remember visual things, and all those senses that sort of fall into the background when you get busier later on in life, you've still got all those, and they do trigger things. And you're in the business like of music and stuff like that, and songs can take you back 20, 30 years, and you remember exactly what you were doing when that song got played.
For sure, yeah.
And it's the same with smell, it's the same with taste. And these are all things that, these are just all our senses.
Mm.
So, you know, it's the same with working on farm with nature and with how things work. It's all the same thing. It's about reconnecting and understanding who we are and what we're about at the same time as you know, for us to be producing food as a co-op, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and again, science is sort of catching up with that now, you know, the getting back into nature and that the benefits it has, you know, mentally, physically, you know, spiritually, all that for you. So, yeah, being in a place where a thriving ecosystem with, you know, a lot more insects around that you can actually hear, and that it's you know, it's got to be, yeah, what am I trying to say here, a more distinct kind of memory or a more a fuller kind of experience.
Yeah, and your environment's so much different. You know, if you're talking to a class down the main street of Auckland or something like that and sniffing in fumes from cars or something like that, it's not quite the same as when you take a group over to a row of trees where that whole gas mix, if you like, is different, what they're breathing in, because we just don't breathe in oxygen. It's a whole gas mix.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes around trees. It changes around vegetation. That's why, you know, a lot of people that go for hikes and treks in the bush feel so nice. It's what they're walking into. It's what they're breathing, not just what they're hearing and seeing.
Yeah.
It's a whole back to a biological process, because we are biological beings to a huge degree as well. We're just it's how we are.
Yeah, well, certain viruses kind of prove that, hasn't it? You know, he just wandered around and just what he was in the air is in the air, right? Yeah.
Well, that's it, yeah. And then it's how if what's in the air comes into you, and if there's some pathogens in there, that depends on your immune response to that, which comes back to, we've done full circle, and that comes back to what you eat at the same time. So, you know, those old sayings, food is thy medicine, we are what we eat.
Yeah,
I don't think those things should be chucked away, actually, because they stand true. They've stood the time, actually, has proven that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, what else we need onto here? Ah, got the regen honor standard. Why did you call it the regen honor standard?
It's just the honor standard, so it's got a regenerative nod to it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's about honoring our land, our cows, and our people.
Mm-hmm.
From soil to sky, so although it's a nod to a regenerative, we see that word being used a lot.
For sure,
a lot of people don't understand what that is. When you simply say it's around honouring the land that we're on and the cows that we've got, makes sense to the average consumer.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, look, I've heard lots of words over the. I mean, we've been certified organic over 21 years now, so I've heard lots of different terminologies for different things, but and it's the same, you know, with the word regenerative, and it means different things for different people, actually. So what we're trying to do is or what we are doing is, you know, showing what we're doing and access to regeneration and the regenerative side of things, and you know, but at the end of the day, a word's just a word without a meaning, so we want to put the meaning to some of these things. And it so happens that those processes that we're using do that and can support that word. And I think that's important, because if you're coming out with different terminologies, especially to the to consumers or to your customer, it can be quite confusing, because it's like, well, what's this about?
Yeah.
So our thing is to show them what our product is about, right back to the farm. Right inside the farm gate, you know, we don't want to hide behind anything.
Yeah,
and it's our point of difference too. And like I say, it comes across in our products. We've got Mike here from Raglan Chocolate. You know, he takes our organic milk and he makes the most beautiful chocolate. I commend him on his new packaging that we saw this morning when we grabbed lunch from La La Land.
La La Land, yes.
Cafe.
Yes.
Fantastic coffee there and something to eat. So, you know, for the hub, we want to see our products going into a range of finished products.
Mm.
You know, whether it's a Mike making chocolate, whether it's infant formula, no matter what it is, you know, we're supporting the little guy, we're supporting the big people.
Yep.
But having the processes on farm and that coming right through to the end product, whatever that may be, is really important to us.
Mm.
And it's sort of where their heart and soul lies, really, is at the consumer at the other end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as a farmer, it's quite nice to see, you know, that although our milk goes off the property and then when it gets starting to put into product, there's a synergy with some of the smaller businesses in New Zealand to grow with them. So, you know, they mightn't order too much to start with, but that's fine. Because if they're successful, they will be ordering a lot more.
Mm.
And you know, it'd be easy to be a big business and just go, oh, we don't want to bother with them because they're too small.
Mm.
Mm. That doesn't do our economy any good. It doesn't do innovation any good. Mm. And it's quite nice to be part of something that does make a difference.
Yeah.
And as I said before, we mightn't be big, but we can do big things.
Yeah. Another plug for Mike too. I know he was a match funder, the Cuddyoy Project. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's a bunch of people. I've got like 100 volunteers, and they go put traps all around Mount Cuddyoy.
Oh, okay.
And they needed a bit of dough because they're in a bit of trouble. And Mike, every time he sold chocolate, I think there's a bit goes to the Cuddyoy Project. And he was a match funder for other people who put money into it. Another plug for Mike. Good ethos. You know, look exactly what you guys are talking about. You know.
Yeah, that's right. And community is really important, right? And Mike, you can see that in him.
Yeah.
Community for us as a business is just the same. There wouldn't be probably a farmer that we've got that's not on some sort of school board or some sort of community project. We've got them on rescue boats out from Taranaki, all sorts of manners of things that they do.
Fire brigades.
Fire brigades, all sorts. And community is really important to us as people and to us and to our consumers as well, to see that these are real people doing real things. And Mike's one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, he's real. Yeah. He makes great product and he does great things for the community. That's just the sort of people we want to support.
And that's probably what I was meaning earlier on when I said about, you know, when I'm selling some of the other produce off the farm and by selling it as local as possible, is now you're talking to the community. So you're plugged in. You get a sense and a feel about a whole array of things, not just about the food that they're buying off you.
Mm, mm.
And I think it's quite important.
Well, essentially you're building a community with your, you know, the people buying your vegetables and fruit and that, really, aren't you? So you're actually kind of creating a community that, you know, they'll talk, oh, this stuff's delicious, you know, tastes better than the stuff we get in the supermarket or whatever, blah, 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 and suddenly, you know, that chat just spreads out and suddenly, you know, you get a lot more people, you know, feeling like they're part of something, you know, a community like that, you know.
Oh, and it's amazing where it leads on to things, onto different things, you know, whether that's about they know somebody that's for a project they're growing native trees. And our farmers are doing a lot of planting. So then you go, well, hang on a minute here. We can support them. They're growing the trees. That's supporting us. So then, you know, you start making, as I say, making all those connections. And that's a good thing.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, well, I was reading a science report, a psychology report the other day. And, yeah, social isolation is like the more, it's worse here than smoking and heavy drinking in that they've discovered in a lot of cases. So, yeah, it's a real big problem, you know, within communities. So, yeah.
Well, I've always said we used to run tourists through the property as well, and so it was sort of tourism / education, and part of that was what I was talking about before with taste and smell. They actually went back overseas, and if they seen New Zealand product on the shelf, it just kicked those senses. So. But the good thing is just that connection, and them being on farm and sort of knowing all about the food and what you're up to, and for me, I always say farming can be quite an isolated occupation.
For sure,
you know, I could if I don't get I I get in trouble for not going into town too much, and I don't know when there's new shops open up and all sorts of stuff because I'm happy on the farm.
Mm, mm.
But you know, you could go weeks without seeing anybody really. So by having that connection for me with some of my customers and stuff like that, I think it's quite healthy at the same time.
For sure, yeah. Healthy for everybody involved, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And social media as well, you know. Going back a few years, there wasn't such a thing as Facebook or Instagram. You know, you can stay connected with these social media. It's not always a positive experience, but at the end of the day, social media keeps you connected, tells you what's going on in your community. You know, it's not a community probably doesn't have a local Facebook page or something that you can dial into. We've seen on our Facebook and Instagram page for ours truly, you know, the growth of that, links to our online store, and people are chatting on there. They love to see, I've taken a photo today, they'd love to see us out and about, action shots. Last week we were on the way to Wellington on a road trip, and you know, stopped off to make a coffee and thought, oh, there's the snow, let's take a photo and pop that onto our social media, and people are following that and they're watching, you know, what we're doing as real people. And you know, there's no hiding behind anything.
No, and I think it's a good first sort of connection, if you like. But for me, with and I've got Instagram and Facebook and all the rest of it, but for me, it's important if that follows on for more of the real instead of just a screen. And so you can use those tools as your microphone or your first connection, but follow it up where, you know, like you can bring people on farm and so they can be there patting the cows or feeding the chooks or doing things like that or seeing what you're actually doing. It's that sort of adds, that's where the real value is, I think.
Yeah, you know, you're sounding like station manager Aaron, because I'm not on any social media and he's always hounding me to get on Facebook. Yes, but I haven't yet.
Well, it has its place, and you just have to be conscious of that.
I think the good thing is there's just a little button. You can turn it off.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Yeah,
and it's up to you whether you want to be on it for long or not.
Yeah.
And it's the same with a lot of tools, with a lot of technology. It can consume your life, and it can isolate you. Or you can use it to your advantage and use it as a positive tool. So it's like anything. You can... Too much of anything is not good for you.
Yeah, nothing's either real good or real bad. It's always, it can be good either
yeah,
of
it.
You know?
You do with it,
Well, sort of balance, I suppose, is the word there.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And that means different things for different people because we're all different. You know, what one's comfortable with, another one might be uncomfortable with.
Yep.
And that's fine because, my personal thing I don't like is when everything... They try and template everything. Well, that'll never work. Everyone's not the same.
That's right.
And whether that's a farm either. We've got our farms, we look at them as individual entities to a degree. You know, they're in different locations, different terrain. You know, some have got creeks going through them, some have got rivers, some haven't. So it's about addressing everything on its own merits. And I think it's probably because our population growth globally that they try and sort of template everything because it's easier.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know if that's the best system.
Yeah, kind of like overseer.
you're trying to stir there, are you? Yeah. Well, once again, I mean, I think that from what that beast was to start with, they have started tailoring it a little bit more. I believe there needs to be a bit more work done yet, but it's... For one thing, for organics or for our biological systems that we're running, just because a tool's designed for something else, it doesn't mean it necessarily fits with what we're doing. And that could be even if you're, you know, some farmer's pasture score and stuff like that. Well, if that's been calibrated just on ryegrass, but when you walk on my farm, you're looking at 15 or 20 different species in that pasture, that'll actually give you a totally different reading. It's like having miles per hour on your car, but you're meant to be driving in Ks. Well, yes, you've got a gauge there, but you're going to be in the shit a bit because it's not the right one.
Yeah, that's it.
It still monitors your speed, It's just you're not talking the right language there. That's all.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, it's like 1:30 already. That's when I'm supposed to be wrapping up the show. You guys, anything else you want to add? I haven't even done the weather or the news or anything.
No, just keep an eye out for our butter, I suppose, is the next thing. It'll be in stores nearby in the next few weeks.
All right.
And
twisting anyone's arm out here in Raglan to put it on the shelves? Or?
That's what we're doing after this.
Ooh.
Yeah. So watch this space.
Look out, everybody.
Yeah, we're on the road. All right.
Oh, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Raglan, actually.
Yeah.
I normally come over here as much as I can, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a few people over here, and it's just got a nice vibe. And I'm not just saying that. If I thought it was shit, I would say it.
Yeah, I find that it's a great community, good vibe. It is.
It's a really nice place to live.
You know, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Especially more so during the week where it's not so busy or off holidays sometimes.
Yeah,
it's not so crowded.
All right, well, okay. How do you get a hold of you guys anyway? We'll go with that one, I suppose. You've got, was it three different websites, haven't you?
We do. Yeah. So organicdairyhub.co.nz.
Yeah.
We've got the a3organic.co.nz as well, yeah. If anyone wants to look that up. And then our most prominent one is the ourstruly.co.nz. It's got a nice little video of Gavin and one of our other farmers, so you can get an insight into what Gavin's farm looks like. And he talks about that a wee bit, and of course our online store's on there as well.
Right on. And you do deliveries around the place? Or?
Yes, we can deliver nationwide, in fact internationally for some of our products. So
right on.
Yeah, well, DC team are busy every day.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, Hayley, for coming. Thank you very much, Gavin, for coming in. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for inviting
us. Thanks for having us. Yeah,
good luck on your wrangling around town. Yeah, I hope it works out. Looking forward to tasting some of this butter one day.
Yeah, we'll drop some back.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Used to come back to Raglan.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, cheers.